everybody, and welcome back to your favorite G.I. Joe podcast show, having fun while there's still fun to be had. This is Knowing Is Half the Podcast, and I am Ray Stakanis.
Funny thing, turns out when you ignore anything real that's happening in the world, sometimes you become the problem. So here's us trying to ignore anything real that's happening in the world. And I suspect we'll eventually become the problem.
That's a bold statement, Robert Clark Chan. I don't think you're wrong.
What's up, Gina?
Oh, you know, stuff.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah, there's stuff happening in the world that I don't care much for. And so thank you to Robert Clark Chan for bringing into my life a show that I did not know existed. An Evel Knievel-inspired Hanna-Barbera cartoon from, I assume, the 60s. I didn't actually check.
Yo, I started looking up Hanna-Barbera cartoons, and there are so many.
And yeah, especially in the 60s and 70s.
They're just, like, there are so many. We could do an entire season just of Hanna-Barbera cartoons, and except for the fact that I imagine we would probably see the same animation, including that motorcycle jump animation.
Oh boy, I got thoughts on that
cartoon for like the 30 years surrounding this cartoon, before and after.
I would say I don't necessarily think these shows are bad. I think that they had a formula and they stuck to it, so they are so formulaic, although this one actually like had kind of a different plot. But
well, there were a few times they tried to go like straight drama, and this one is like there's an action cartoons, you know, like you're watching like a Batman, and it's not like goofy fun haha all the time, you know, like slapstick jokes, but there's action, there's things that are happening. This is like, I guess, no, it's not before fucking action cartoons. Fucking Johnny Quest was a thing.
Johnny Quest was before this. Yeah.
But this was just like basically a drama for kids. I don't even know that exists anymore. Does it?
I don't. A drama for it's you could consider this dramatic?
That's what I mean. I feel like Wikipedia said that. It's one of the few dramas they created.
I would also argue that it's sort of like Nick at Night drama. Like if this was not a cartoon, you could imagine something like Dobie Gillis or something, or, you know, like whatever the predecessors were to Saved by the Bell, for instance. Happy Days. Let's go with Happy Days, where someone was like obsessed with a celebrity and that celebrity turns out to be a dick. Matter of fact, I think that was a Saved by the Bell plot at some point.
Pretty standard trope.
Yeah. Hold on, is that a comedy? Is Saved by the Bell a comedy?
Oh, I guess Saved by the Bell is a comedy, but like, but when you think of something that's more like Nick at Nighty, I guess those were all
Nick at Night were reruns. Comedies. So what are you saying?
Yeah, I guess those were all also comedies. I was thinking of like Dobie Gillis or something like that, but and I guess
what is Leave It to Beaver?
That's a good question. I think Leave It to Beaver, because like they did have laughs in it. I think it would be, it's more like, you know, like After School Specially type of thing.
Would you consider a family show to be a genre? A thing that is called a family show that is not explicitly a comedy or a drama?
Yeah, I would say it definitely used to be.
Is that what this is? Because you could
I would have to say, as a fucking adult, I would
fucking refuse to watch this with my children.
I didn't think it was that bad. I didn't think it was bad. It's just very much a product of its time.
Yeah. I don't want to say it's bad, but like legitimately, I would not watch it. I don't watch Catch Teeny Pings when my kid is watching it.
What the hell is catch TV pains?
Oh, it's coming. If you don't have it yet in your house, it'll be there.
Not if I have anything to do about it. What is it? Chen, give me the 10-second rundown of what catch teeny pings is.
You know what? I'm going to save this for the return of My Three Dads.
Okay. You know what? Yeah, fair.
We haven't actually convinced Marshall to do yet.
Oh, but... Marshall already said he's in. It's a standing offer. What are we talking about? We just haven't had the time. We do now.
We do now. I don't remember what the question was.
I'm out too. I will say it is 1974. Forgive me. It looks, it's you know, the animation is not dissimilar from that of the 60s, but they are wearing bell bottoms. So shame on me. I should have known better.
I mean, Evel Knievel was definitely a product of the 70s.
Yeah. Sure.
Yeah. Evel Knievel, for the kids at home, Evel Knievel was a cultural sensation back in like the 70s and 80s. And he was a daredevil, a stuntman.
What is the average age of our audience? At this point, everyone knows. Channing Sherman knows who Evel Knievel is. Psycho Andy knows who Evel Knievel is. Why are we telling people this?
For the record, it's Retro Andy now, not Psycho Andy. And I'm going to go on the record of this. He just joined our Patreon. And I will stand up for Retro Andy.
For reals? He did?
That is correct.
Wow.
He was for a very long time part of our Patreon, and then he unsubscribed. Like, he was trying to save money, so he unsubscribed, and then we released our unboxing, and also we hadn't released any Patreon stuff in a long time.
Look, I don't blame anybody for coming and going. There's no shade, no shame whatsoever.
I wasn't saying there was shame. I was saying
Gina's trying to shame you.
Give him his due. He's been a Patreon subscriber for a long time.
And this is fair.
That I don't know who gets notified about these things.
I do.
For some reason, whenever there's a new patron for Who Would Win, I get a notification. But for knowing us have the podcast, the one that I actually give a shit about, I'm like, who? Why? How?
Don't worry about that.
Apparently I won't. But yeah, we should do more stuff for the patrons.
I think we will. Definitely catch us on the, Chan actually admitted to being, on the Discord. How about that?
Right.
Look at join our Discord, patreon.com/, knowing is half the podcast, and jump on and talk to Chan. Who wouldn't want to do that?
You don't even have to be a patron, for heaven's sake.
We really do though. 'Cause that's where the link is.
Oh, is it?
Yeah.
Oh. I have no idea how Patreon works or Discord, so I'll have to take your word for it.
Good job, Cham. Anyway, Evel Knievel jumped motorcycles over large things. That was kind of his whole deal, and he famously got injured multiple times horrifically when some of these jumps went terribly wrong. Also, if I remember correctly, he was kind of a terrible person, so I just wrote here... So the plot of Devlin, I assume, is he rides motorbikes and makes everyone around him uncomfortable. Turned out to not be fully accurate, but that was my first takeaway.
That was a job at one time. You could just be a guy who drove your motorcycle over things.
I mean, the evolution of it became once things like Jackass existed, where idiots were willing to put themselves in terrible danger with little to no skill, the actual daredevils became extinct. That's the sad reality of it. It's like when a dude is like, hey, can we put you in a cage with a bear? Or hey, can we fire several BB guns at your nuts? Or hey, can we release you from an airplane over a body of water with no parachute? Then it became like, oh, well... Because, like, people used to watch Evel Knievel for, I mean, the skill was impressive. And then also there was a 10% chance he would get hurt. Because honestly, his record was pretty good. He did get hurt a lot, but he did a lot of stunts too. So you're watching because it's like any circus act. You're like, oh, there's a level of skill and there's a level of danger. But the second that like idiots on YouTube could bash their head against a wall and like that was entertainment, then guys like this became dinosaurs because people were like, well, I'm going to watch Bam Margera go into a bear cage because there's a higher likelihood he'll get hurt than if I was watching Evel Knievel.
Yeah, and to be fair, it's the market got saturated. Like, look, people back in the 70s didn't have a lot to do. There was no internet. There was barely any video games. Movies, you know, were all drab and serious, like Logan's Run and shit. And so you had a guy who said, I'm going to jump across Snake River Gorge on a motorcycle, and I might die doing it. And everybody's like, well, I will check that out, absolutely. But now you could just go on YouTube and get compilations of people jumping things on motorcycles, skateboards, bicycles, pogo sticks, whatever you want, and you could get desensitized. It's not nearly as exciting anymore.
So I am led to understand that there is a certain segment of the NASCAR watching populace who are there to watch crashes. They're hoping for crashes, that sort of thing. Certainly people who watch UFC, they all want to see a knockout. They all want to see someone get fucked up.
Right.
This tracks. It's not that unusual, I guess. It's just a matter of technology. Like, what do we have that could imperil somebody in an exciting way? And the 70s had fucking motorcycles. So good on you, I guess. It's not, I guess, any more or less morally reprehensible than Jackass, which is,
I think it's definitely less reprehensible than Jackass. Are you kidding me? Dude was like an actual, like, he trained for these stunts, and this is that's like saying a stunt actor is no worse or better than the guys on Jackass.
The Fall Guy's gonna hear about this, Chan.
The Lee Majors?
I know. The Gaz is going to hear about it, Chan, and Lee Majors, and they're both going to get pissed off.
That I would pay to see that.
Hide behind your keyboard, liberal.
I plan to. I don't think
I don't know where any of that's coming from. I'm just having fun.
It's probably all the people on your all your Midwest school friends on Facebook.
Oh, they're fun, aren't they?
Everyone you hang out with has been thrown into question these last few weeks.
I mean, look, there have been some rough moments. To be fair, most of the people that make absolutely insane, ridiculous comments to anything I post on social media, assuredly, I have not seen them in over 25 years. So
but then why not unfriend them? That's what I don't get. Because when people see those interactions, it's upsetting. So why not just unfriend them?
Because it's easier to yell at them, Gina. And that way people can get the catharsis. And maybe that person can learn something.
You're not yelling at them in an eat shit way.
I leave that to you, Gina. Well, that's now you can have a catharsis.
You got to step it up, Gina, because I'm not on Facebook anymore. So
I refuse to. The only thing that's going to end up happening is I'm going to unfollow Ray. That's what this is going to lead to.
Unfollowed him long ago. I don't know what you're doing still there.
Chan unfollowed me so hard he quit the app.
Yeah, Jesus Christ. I want to make sure that nothing gets into these precious eyeballs.
To be fair, isn't the whole point of Facebook to make people feel bad at this point?
Hasn't it always been?
I don't know. I feel like for a while there were cat pictures.
For a brief moment, we could poke each other. Yeah. But for the most part,
that was very upsetting.
It started as, hey, let's dehumanize women, and then briefly became a fun place, and then became, hey, let's just dehumanize everybody.
Yeah.
This is off to a happy start.
You started it. I don't know that that's in fact the case, but I am going to come at you like it is, and we'll see where that goes.
You know what, mm-hmm, Gina? Mm-hmm. Eat shit. look, that's who Evel Knievel is. That's what the entire basis.
Well, that's what we were talking about.
Also, I will say right now, as soon as I saw the title, I'm not going to lie. My first thought was Devlin Cox. Does he have a cartoon from the 70s?
Who's because Devlin?
Then I remembered his name is Delvin Cox, so I absolutely got that wrong.
Also, you only know one. You think that name was just invented and only one person has ever had it?
The only person I ever knew who had it.
There's Dean Devlin, the guy who was a producer of Godzilla And
that's a last name, Chan. Not quite the same thing, isn't it?
Leverage.
Did you guys look up the voice actors for
Ernie? This dude's name was Ernie Devlin.
Did you guys look up?
You're making good points right now.
The voice actors for this.
Michael Bell?
I did. Now, let's just say right now, as soon as I heard him start talking, I was like, hey, wait a minute. I recognize that voice.
That's
the voice of Ernie Devlin, star of the show, is.
That's not who I was excited about and not who I'm talking about.
Oh, I know who you're about to talk about, so I'm going to start with the excitement. Michael Bell, Duke himself, is the voice of Devlin, and I think he does a phenomenal job on this.
Yeah, he's fine.
Mickey Dolenz.
Mickey Dolenz is the voice of Todd.
I literally texted a friend because a buddy of mine just got me like a book about the monkeys. There's more to it. There's like a girl who like hallucinates the monkeys. Anyway, we were talking about the monkeys the other day, and I was like, oh my God. It's one of those things where when you just start talking about something, then like everything around you is that thing.
Played a shrimp. Like,
that happens.
I was like, oh shit, now more monkeys.
You mean like the monkeys, or do you just mean also monkeys in general?
The monkeys.
Because like if you're just talking about monkeys, yeah, you're going to run across references to monkeys a fair amount.
I mean, especially if you're, oh, never mind.
Especially,
no, I want to know where we were going there.
Jane Goodall.
I was going to say, especially if you're that terrible woman in that terrible movie.
Now, hold on a sec.
Emilia Perez?
Yeah. Oh, wow. I love that I said two things and you knew who it was.
Oh, I thought you meant Sigourney Weaver in Alien.
Wait a minute. Are you serious?
Yeah.
Excuse me, because I have no idea what you're talking about.
Oh.
And I just pulled a reference.
Wow, Chan, that's impressive. I was specifically talking about her terrible racist tweets from a couple of years ago where she mentioned monkeys. But we should not go into it now.
Oh, man. I stumbled into something awesome and I didn't even realize it. Now I'm not going to know who... I don't even know who's in Emilia Perez. I just know that people are up in arms because it's
AI
for a lot of Oscars.
Oh, you don't. Yeah. It's first of all, so the main reason I'll just give a very brief rundown. The main reason is because it's a movie about Mexican culture that has zero Mexican people involved, made by a French dude who cast a Spanish woman. And it's a musical and the songs are terrible. And because she didn't have the best vocal range and they didn't think to write the songs to her vocal range, they used AI to fix her vocal range, basically.
Isn't it about a trans person too?
Yes. So you would think that like, oh, this is a great movie. First trans woman, maybe to win an Oscar. That's what everyone was saying. And then shit started getting weird. She like attacked another one of the, like she was like, oh, this other Hispanic actress is like coming for me. That actress was like, wait, what? No, I'm not. And then people were like, oh, are you like causing beef when there's no beef? And then a whole slew of tweets were unearthed, and she was like, oh, but they're old. And I was like, bitch, when was George Floyd? Because that is not that old. It's not like it was in the 70s. And the tweets are heinous.
I love this because I feel like if we had stopped at, oh, you mean Emilia Perez? Okay. And then moved on 5 years from now, when somebody listened to this episode, be like, what are they even talking about? I am learning things. The person 5 years from now is also learning things. It'll be much easier to Google if Google exists, or possibly it will have taken over the world, and you will have no choice but to know these things because it'll put it directly into your head.
Wait, did you guys see the video of the three guys bullying the robot, and it's like really upsetting?
No.
Okay, it's very upsetting. There's like an AI like android, and it's between these three guys who are gamers, and I guess therefore pieces of shit, and they're like kicking it and bullying it, and it tries to run away.
Like
and,
a robot robot?
Yeah, like a robot, and it tries to run away. It's very, very
Isn't
upsetting.
Isn't that the appropriate response when you see AI taking someone's job?
No, this is like a, you know, like a buddy robot. Like are they
are you watching an episode of Westworld, Gina, and confusing it with reality?
Gina, that's Tandy Newton. What are you talking about?
Yeah, I feel
anyway,
like
anyway, the woman from Emilia Perez is a piece of crap.
Oh, that's so, what we were talking about. I'm sorry.
Well, now that we're a good 20 minutes into this episode about Devlin, let's talk about the episode of Devlin.
The what? Were we I supposed know. To watch a cartoon?
Yeah, generally that's how this works. This is episode 8 of season 1. It's called Sandy's Idol. And to be fair, my initial thought upon seeing the title was that it was going to be about a tiki statue, like that Brady Bunch Hawaiian episode.
Sure. Yeah, no.
Because why wouldn't I?
Makes total sense.
Not about an idol like a celebrity. A celebrity that somebody would name Sandy would like.
I will say that the opening, the introduction is all music and like a montage with someone's got a sign that says colossal spine tingling stunts and Evel Knievel jumping over shit. And there's a girl and there's a guy and there's a thing, but there's no voiceover. And I really needed a voiceover to explain who these people were.
To explain who Devlin is?
What he's doing.
He's jumping a motorcycle like 58 times in the opening. You can't figure out what his deal is?
Yeah, this is such a Ray thing to say.
What is there not to figure out, Chan?
It's an aesthetic thing. When I see that kind of montage and I hear that kind of music and there's no lyrics to the song, I'm like, well, clearly there are no lyrics because you want to say something. So say something. Tell me something about this. Like, I didn't know necessarily that like Devlin is the girl's brother.
I didn't know that until they said it out loud, but nor did it affect my enjoyment of the episode. I knew that they were at least friends.
Also, they say it like 10 minutes in. Also, I'm surprised at you, Chan, because you, again, this is a very Ray thing. You usually read the Wikipedia entry.
No. I don't need to know what's going on. I figure it out through context clues.
Right. That's what I do. Yeah.
But aesthetically, you've got an introduction with music and with visuals and nothing else. I want some words in there. But they could be fucking anything.
This is how the 70s were.
Did you know that there's a hostage crisis going on right now in the Middle East? That would be fine. I mean, like, did you know that bananas were originally small, large seeded vegetables that were unpalatable, and through genetic manipulation we have created delicious sweet Cavendish bananas? I would have appreciated that.
I just posted the literal first image shown, and it's a guy in a Daredevil suit on a motorcycle with a helmet on, and you're telling me based on that one picture you're sitting to be like, this could be about anything.
Again, I'm very disturbed that Ray got this and you didn't. It would be like if a dog stood on its hind legs and started like feeding a person lasagna on the ground.
Go on.
I would like to hear more about this.
Yes. This feels like a disturbing dream that you had. That
I
you
can't say anymore. It will soon be a major motion picture.
Oh, yeah. Gina finally got something sold.
It's called Lasagna Dog. I don't want to get into it.
Oh, my God. No, I do not find anything challenging about the setup for this show. It's about a guy who does stunts and his team.
I said that I like cartoons with introductions, spoken word introductions.
I know you do.
If they had said, like, it is the year 2899. There's the world is a vast hellscape. The only thing that survived was a traveling circus where Evel Knievel does jumps for the poor mutants who are scrambling to survive.
Gina, write this down. I think this is a pitch for you coming.
Yeah,
later.
Yeah. I'm gonna pitch this at Cram on Saturday.
This is good. Now look, so this episode begins, and We have they're doing a stunt for free. They're doing a free stunt for publicity's sake. And the idea is he jumps on a ramp, goes over like a dozen cars, and then lands on the other side safely. And he does it. He does the jump. And I just wrote here, oh wow, he did the jump. Is this what I'm supposed to be feeling right now? Like, it's a cartoon. There's no actual danger. It's also a Hanna-Barbera cartoon, so they're not going to have him crash because they won't animate it.
But I mean, that's like, that's true of all cartoons when there's danger. Did you watch Scooby-Doo? It's made for kids, right? Did you watch, as an adult, do you watch Scooby-Doo and go, you know, I know that those ghosts aren't real, so I'm not really scared.
Yes, I do.
Here's the thing. When and it's a thing that happens quite often. You got your Rambos, your Mortal Kombats, like the kind of RoboCop, the kind of cartoons that are based on things that are wildly inappropriate for children. They have to make it acceptable for children. The thing about Evel Knievel is that there's a chance he could fucking die a grisly death in front of everybody.
Right.
And then to make a show about that, but taking away the only thing you're going there for, it makes it difficult to have a watchable product.
You guys are hard to please.
Yeah.
Maybe that's why you're so unhappy.
Like to think that I am worth it.
I also wrote here, Super Dave Osborne, way more fun.
I mean,
I do love Super Dave. Who doesn't like Super Dave, though?
From the 90s.
He's an Einstein, and the Einsteins are all comedic geniuses.
I don't know what that means, but yes.
You can't compare apples to oranges.
Do you know who Albert Brooks is, Ray?
I know who Albert Einstein is.
Do you?
I have my doubts. Albert Brooks's given name is Einstein, and he changed it for obvious reasons, but his brother Bob Einstein is more commonly known as
Einstein Brothers Bagels.
Dave Osborne, Ray.
What? I did not know any of this.
Yes, Seda.
So he's the grandson of Albert Einstein?
We're done here.
Wow. I learned something today. Look, Super Dave, comedic genius. You know, let's do an Evel Knievel bit, except everything ends horrifically. And he's so goddamn funny. And his delivery, super deadpan, always wore the jumpsuit no matter where he was. Everything brilliant about it. I wish there were more Super Daves in this world. I'll go ahead and say it.
We drove them away.
Well, we drove them to make the show Jackass, apparently. That's unfortunate.
It is.
Because there's no talent there. I'll say it.
I don't think we lost a whole lot in not having Daredevils anymore. We have our fucking X Games. That's close enough.
No, we have the X Games, and also like street magicians like David Blaine just do Daredevil shit, but they just call it illusions and magic now.
Yeah, he's like holding his breath for 6 days. Like,
hiding in a block of ice in Grand Central Station or whatever. So here's another question I have about the opening.
Man, Gina, you're hard to please.
Yeah, Gina, you're so hard to please. Be happy like us. the thing I don't understand is that the team is setting it up, and then the dude, Mickey Dolenz, Todd, he's just like, do you think we could add another car? And in my head, I'm like, to what end? He's already jumping like 14 cars. Are people going to see that and go, well, that's effing dumb. Why don't we add at 15 cars? I'll be impressed.
No,
like, it's already a crazy stunt. But what would adding literally one car change in this stunt?
But this was a thing that they used to do, because the whole thing was like, each time they did a show, they would want to one up themselves. So they would be like, oh, he's going to set a record this time. So instead of jumping this, he's jumping this many, and it adds this much. Again, it's the 70s. It's not, you're looking through it through your TikTok eyes with your disgusting YouTube face.
I have a face meant for YouTube. I've been told that.
This sounds like a Coraline type situation. You got TikTok eyes and a YouTube face.
Or maybe, is that a Panic at the Disco lyric? I'm not really sure where this falls, but that's it. That's all I got.
No, I was going to let you keep going. I'm good. Yeah, I don't understand what adding one more car actually does here. I mean, this is a stunt for free to get people interested in the circus. I'm just questioning who's sitting back and being like, that's not enough cars. I'm out. If he would have added one more car, I would have been in. It just seems like an absurd thing to actually like do if safety is even remotely in question.
I don't care about this topic.
It made me very upset in the moment, Gina, and my feelings matter.
That's dumb.
My feelings have value.
No, they don't. Whoever, look, it's 2025. I don't have to humor you anymore, right?
No, it's 2025.
Being mean.
I'm in charge again, I guess.
Oh, yeah, that's right. You're right.
No, you need me to protect all of you at this point. Ugh, we're God. All boned is what I'm trying to say. I'd be very bad at that. Thankfully, I know how to talk to cops.
Yeah,
when
you
I used
love
to work
them, right?
at restaurants, I'd always be the one that had to go answer the door.
Because you would be the cops would show up. That wouldn't get shot.
Well, yeah, because if you look at the people that were, you know, working in the restaurant, the people that were in back of house in the restaurant, and you know, the dishwashing crew and the wait assistant crew, I was the one you wanted talking to the cops.
That's why you
wanted
love
me as the face of your party. It's the only reason I got invited, and I was okay with that. I understood my role.
I heard that you think that ACAB stand for all cops are badass.
Why did you construct that like a Yo Mama joke? Yo Mama was so supportive of cops.
Oh, bless America. Listen, Hank is the guy who runs the carnival, and he's waiting for what they refer to as Mr. Rock. Lucifer himself, and I'm like, oh, the devil's showing up. This is Devlin and the devil. I'm okay with this.
It feels weird, honestly, that like they call him Lucifer.
Lucifer, 100 times.
Everybody knows that that is a name for the devil. Like if you said Baal, you know, like maybe not everybody would immediately associate like, oh, Baal? That's a devilish name.
Like Christian Baal?
No, not at all.
Are you referring to Ball?
Are you really going to test me on the pronunciation of biblical names?
Baal?
Look it up.
All right, I'm looking it up.
Like, yeah, like Lucifer, you would think that they would, if you're going to call him Lucifer, that someone would be like, ooh, he's like a real demonic kind of guy or something, or like, that doesn't seem very Christian or something, but his just name's Lucifer. Just like, and then the music he sings is like mid-60s pop. So it's not like it's, you know, like, holy shit, this dude's like a crazy-ass hippie who's probably doing drugs or something.
Maybe it was like kind of a cool name back then. The only other thing I can think of it was it's the name of the cat in Cinderella.
Is it?
Yeah, Lucifer. Because the little chubby mouse is like, Lucifer.
Chan, I got news for you. I found a video on how to pronounce that word.
Uh-huh.
Damn. You're getting schooled by Ray in this episode, and I don't like it.
Here's the deal. It literally says both ways are acceptable.
Oh, well then, that's not quite the gotcha that
actually came here to say we're both right.
Which is, it's a win in Ray's book, because...
Anytime he's not blatantly wrong about something.
No, anytime we have to come to a compromise, I feel like everyone loses.
You're right. We all do feel slightly worse about ourselves.
Yeah, you know, there it is.
G.I. Joe will return after these messages.
All you homeowners have unique needs. Some feel the need to paint their door a vibrant shade of blue. Others have the need to decorate their bathroom with fish, anchors, and other nautical items. And because each homeowner has unique needs, GEICO helps you get the right coverage for your home and what's in it. That way, you get exactly what's right for you, even if your needs are unique. Get more with GEICO.
Just another another day at the Daily Bugle. Got that thinking feeling, Spider-Man. Will someone please take out the garbage? Wherever I go, I've got my missus me. How about a little trim, Spider-Man? Not too much off the sides, Doc Ock.
Parachute Spider-Man, playset and figures sold separately.
Now, back to G.I. Joe.
No, but what they... So the Satanic Panic doesn't happen until the 80s, I guess. So maybe Lucifer's fine?
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, maybe. Again, if Disney let them name a cat that, Disney clearly thought it was okay.
That's fine. Yeah. I just, you know, it just seems like standards and practices would have done something, but
we're going far back enough that this whole Christian fundamentalism like didn't get virulent and weird, I think, until like the 80s.
Yeah,
it was still strong and prevalent, and but it came out in different ways before the 80s, where it became a different sort of thing.
I was going to say the in the Vatican City, there's like a literal room where the floor is made of human skulls. So don't tell me it didn't get weird before the 80s, but it became specifically weird in the 80s, is what you're saying. I get you.
Like literalism, I think, is the thing that really took hold in the 80s. We're like, no. The devil is real. He is a dude who's yoked. First off,
he's very sexy.
He's got
man.
Cum gutters that you could fucking pour a gallon of milk down. And also, he's red and he's got a tail, etc., etc.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And then before that, you know, yeah, you could just call someone Lucifer and he could just play like old Beatles tunes, and that's fine.
Yeah, I actually saw his band as being much more like the Monkees. Then I realized Mickey Dolenz was in the show.
Oh my God, the Monkees! It's so weird.
Well, here's the deal.
Just thinking about the Monkees, and then you said it.
Oh shit! Really?
How often do you guys talk about the Monkees, and in the same week watch a show starring a monkey?
I mean, I watched The Hot Zone the other day. Does that count?
I watched Bedtime for Bonzo recently.
Yeah, that monkey was a really good actor in that one.
That monkey became president.
Also,
we know Lucifer's a bad guy because he demands to park in a no parking zone.
This is a dick move because he immediately says, well, then no one else will be parked there.
It's a great, to be fair, he's right. And in the short term, I think, given that he's a talented performer, I think we should let him park wherever the heck he wants to. Obviously, not long term, but if he's just dropping something off, checking in at a hotel, he's famous, let him do it.
He's clearly not. He's clearly planning on parking there all day.
Well, that's a
problem. Also, I think you just proved that you're a bad person.
What? Outrageous. I have my own parking space. I don't park on the street like a commoner.
Here's the thing. He is a dick. He makes dick moves all through the show. But he is not evil. Like,
he's not supposed to be.
His name is Lucifer.
He's not supposed to be evil. He's just supposed to be he's just supposed to be a dick, because the whole point is like, hey, like she's going to figure out on her own that dude isn't like, you shouldn't put that dude on a pedestal because he's selfish. He's self-absorbed. It's not like he's got like puppies in his trunk and he's shooting them in the head. This serves.
That's what I wanted.
Well, that would be a totally different show, Chan.
He did not sexually assault this underage girl once during the cartoon. And so I feel like a disappointment is warranted here. So,
Chan, to be fair, you're talking about a cartoon from Hanna-Barbera in the 1970s.
Yes.
And your belief is that you are disappointed a character on this cartoon show from the 70s did not sexually assault a child on screen.
I'm saying he should have tried. That's how we know that he's not a good guy. Parking in a no parking zone? How many of you trying to park downtown Los Angeles?
Nope.
Listen.
You've got an audition to get to?
Nope.
Listen.
You're already a terrible person in this story.
I have once gotten a ticket for parking illegally. I was delivering Instacart at the time. Not my top financial moment of life, but there was nowhere within blocks to park around this apartment building. I ran inside up, the elevator. They waited forever to answer. And by the time I got back down to my car, 5 minutes later, there was a ticket on my car.
According to Gina, you are pure evil.
Call me Lucifer from this moment forward, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
Except he's not actually evil.
You should be put in jail.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I also like, hey, stay loose, kid. That made me laugh.
Stay loose, kid.
Stay loose, kid. Don't you tell me where to park. Stay loose, kid. What are you, a narc over here? And he's right. What business is it of hers, a child, where he, an adult, parks his car? She is not in law enforcement or regulation. She should leave him alone. Let him make his own choices.
I mean, I'm unclear where this circus is and
great
what
question.
The no parking. Okay. The no parking is next to a fire hydrant. Honestly, understood. A circus probably really wants to keep that shit clear, because if there is a fire, that's super bad for them.
Yeah, true.
So probably fire safety is top of mind. I get that. That makes sense to me.
To be fair, I think I'm a little chapped about this, because earlier this week I was packing lunch for my kid, and I thought it would be a nice gesture to put a piece of candy or two in her lunchbox.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
We have candy. We have too much candy.
Yep.
I put some Skittles and a pack of Nerds in her lunchbox.
My, you have a licentious school that allows candy in a lunchbox.
Yeah. So I feel like I'm being a cool dad. I'm doing a good thing. I'm being nice. I'm doing a nice thing that I don't have to do. And I get home from work, and immediately I find out that my kid ate the candy and then narked on me.
Good for
her. And immediately I'm getting, why are you putting candy in her lunchbox, much less two pieces of candy in her lunchbox? And they are all absolutely correct, for the record. I just couldn't believe that my innocent child didn't have the foresight to understand that's not something you keep to yourself.
Good for her.
Good for her. She will now no longer get candy in her lunchbox.
Yeah,
it's
but
not worth
any,
the risk.
Any chance to make your life a little worse? I'm on her side.
Like, okay, I understand where you're coming down on this.
I have long since learned, and I'm surprised that it took you this long, because my kid narks on me constantly.
No, constantly. But I didn't think she would narc on me for something that I did that was beneficial to her and nothing else.
For things that I do that are hey, let's go get ice cream. And I try not to make it a thing, because as soon as you start keeping secrets about things,
no, obviously
it's weird.
You don't want to keep secrets from your spouse. That is just that is a bad way to be. I will speak on that.
He takes great delight, and you can tell that he's hoping that I get in trouble for doing this nice thing for him. I understand that now and make allowances for it. Yeah, he ain't getting cool shit from me.
No, not anymore. I'm out. Sorry, nerd.
Serves you right for trying to go behind your spouse's back to be the cool parent.
I wouldn't say behind anyone's back. I pack her lunch every day. And we have a schedule and we have certain things we put in, and I just didn't have anything to put in one spot. And I thought it would just be a nice thing to do.
Yeah.
Am I crazy?
No.
Am I negligent?
Gina doesn't have to pack lunch for children every day.
Right. Because I made good decisions.
Yeah. You're not entirely wrong.
My hair color.
I don't have to deal with anyone barfing at the Lunar New Year.
Oh my God. You know what? Are we talking about that? Are we going to talk about that? Oh boy, I didn't think we were going to talk about that today.
It's just one sentence. No one knows what it means. No one knows who barked.
Yeah, but
maybe
I think we
got to
get into it now, Robert Clark Chan, don't we? You don't just let that hang.
Sorry, we have to save that for My Three Dads.
Right, coming
soon or possibly never.
Oh no, we're booking it now. We have too many things to talk about. And that is guaranteed. Look, so they finally go over to Lucifer and they say, hey, we reserved a spot for you to park next to the Big Top where it will be easier to unload your shit. Plus, you're a celebrity and shouldn't have to walk that far. And dumb, dumb Lucifer is like, oh, I guess that makes sense. It's like, yeah, dummy. Go what? Park in the actual spot for famous talent. Weirdo.
No. This, I mean, at this point, I'm respecting dude who runs the circus.
Because, 100%. Hank's got his poop together.
Like, there was no fucking reserve space.
Right. He's just manipulating an egomaniac.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But there should have been a reserve space. This guy's famous.
Gosh. I feel like he should go into where all the fucking trailers are for the circus. There's probably a place to park all the trailers and stuff. Because that's what you do if you're a touring musician. It doesn't matter if you're, I don't know, who's the biggest? Somebody please tell me.
Sabrina Carpenter.
Like, when she drives her bus in, it's not like they park her in I don't know, the front of the stadium. Their fucking trailer goes around back where all of the shit is.
Yeah, not in a no parking zone.
But this dude, he knows what's up, and he deals with us with an egomaniac. It's great. Love it.
Also, I think Lucifer looks a lot like Paul McCartney. Am I crazy? Like, that's kind of the vibe I got every time I saw him on screen.
Not with that huge ass ascot.
All right. Paul McCartney meets Fred from Scooby-Doo.
A little closer.
Closer. Yeah. Also, weirdly, like, they're driving, or he's driving, which I already think is weird that he's the one actually driving.
Dude, he's Lucifer driving a fancy ass car. Yeah, with what?
Towing a trailer.
It's 10 coats of lacquer on the convertible.
Yeah, I mean, it's fine. It's a fine car. But like the little girl, like the teenage girl or whatever, who's Ernie Devlin's sister, who's also a stunt woman. I don't know. But she's offering to show him the parking spot. He's driving, he has a stack of autographed pictures like on his lap while he's driving. And in the middle of all of this, Sandy is her name. And she's just like, will you autograph one of these for me? And they cut to them. They already all have autographs on them. And I get that she wants it personalized.
But he's
trying to drive a car right now. That's inappropriate, Sandy.
That's a real thing that celebrities have pre-signed shit.
Well, no, she does want him to autograph it while he is driving. And that is, that's on you, Sandy. That's your fault. That's... When he misses the yield sign, that's fucking Sandy's fault.
And to be fair, he does do it. He says, oh, fine. I will drive this car towing a trailer with two people in it besides myself and stop everything so I can also sign. I won't stop the car to do it. And he busts through a yield sign and we're supposed to be like, he's reckless. It's like, I don't know, man. I don't know. He should have told Sandy no, sure. But Sandy shouldn't have been asking that. That was what was reckless. I'm trying to say this Lucifer guy is making good choices.
I wouldn't go so that. I wouldn't go that far.
He busts through a yield sign, and the other people at the yield sign were like, hey, what are you doing? It was our turn. And Sandy's all like, oh, you busted through a yield sign. It's like, come on, lady. But then also he says, well, they yielded, so I guess it worked. You know what? I cannot find fault with his logic.
He's a piece of shit. But also, like, this is... At least have him throw a goddamn television out a hotel window. Please, something that is heightened and elevated in some way more than violates mild traffic, makes mild traffic infringements.
Okay.
He parked in a no parking zone. he blew through a yield sign.
Not even a stop sign.
Wasn't even a stop sign.
Not even a stop sign.
Yield. And that's it. That's it. And when they go to come down on him later, like, yeah, but he parked in a no parking spot and went through a road sign. And that's it.
So, look, we've all done it before. Maybe not in a row.
Look, Gina hasn't. Gina has never
opened one
any way, shape, or form. Has never parked anywhere.
I've never parked anywhere and then been told to move and said, no, I'm famous. The fact that you guys don't find this dickish is very disturbing. Also, we got to hurry this up because I got like 4 more minutes till my cats eat my face.
I was going to say, we're about 45 minutes plus deep into this, and we're not even through Act 1. So I'm going to jump at least to Act 1 because one thing I also noticed. Oh, he's a singer, by the way. We didn't talk about this. Lucifer is a singer in a monkey-style band. They don't even tell us why he's famous until like halfway, two-thirds of the way through the cartoon. And we see Devlin do another jump. And that jump animation, they're really not trying at all. He just sort of tenses up. And then they just sort of move the bike without him really doing anything on it. And it is wild. It is a deep lack of effort in maybe the most important shot. Like when He-Man punches somebody, they rotoscoped it because they knew that was important. When Devlin is doing his world famous jumping, they just sort of, he kind of leans down and then they just sort of make it go. And then it bounces. It just slides across.
It's slow motion, so that, you know, we build the suspense.
Build the tension, I guess.
Also, it's not like they show the same animation like 5 times during the episode.
It's as if they did.
They did?
Turns out they did, yes.
Whoo, boy. You know what? I'm just going to change the subject by playing the song that Lucifer's band has going for us.
Thank you.
You think Lucifer, this is exactly the sort of sound you would expect, yes?
Yeah. It don't seem to matter who you are, who you are. Just be gentle and be kind. Keep a happy frame of mind. And this simple little word with it.
I love that they're not harmonized. They are all singing the same line. Not often how this is supposed to go with talented musicians.
Oh, I mean, he's a musical genius, so you just don't get it.
Obviously, Devlin's genius is beyond my own. Also, Sandy's enthralled by the performance. The team is asking her to do stuff. Todd is jealous or something. It's weird. And Devlin's like, no, dude, just watch them. They're famous. Like, of course. This is her entire deal. I actually value Devlin as a person for having the understanding to say, no, take a moment. Like, that is a thing you get to do so rarely. This is bullshit.
Have you looked at the backgrounds of this animation?
Not well enough, apparently.
I mean, you just looking at it, you basically, you can see the brush strokes. It's like the laziest fucking background painting.
Oh my God, you're right. It looks like watercolor. You know what? I didn't even consider this. This is some of the laziest backdrops I've ever seen.
If it were like a choice, like the Mutant Mayhem, the latest Teenage Ninja Turtles movie,
okay,
has a hand-drawn style. Obviously, it's CG. But they make it like deliberately look sort of like I don't know, low tech or whatever like that.
It's a style choice, though. It's a style choice.
If it were an artistic choice, this is, I mean, I don't think it's an artistic choice because it's not like the characters are drawn that way, but the background just looks like, I mean, it just looks like a sixth grader, you know, like took some school paints and just like
they watercolored it, slapped it together in like 15 minutes. It's not great. You know, I like the style. I like style choices though. When you choose to like wash out the background, there's a lot of cool stuff you can do with that, but it has to be very clearly stylistic, not just cheap and lazy.
Yeah.
Also, I did like Todd's line around the 8 minute 16 second mark.
Oh, I know.
They asked him. I want to hear it because they asked him. And look, these were the jokes, people. This is not a drama. This is a comedy because of lines like this.
First off, like, yeah, he's complaining about the things that Lucifer does, and just such crimes the man has committed.
I don't park near fire hydrants, and I don't go through traffic signs.
Ooh.
Wow. Well, okay, Mother effing Teresa.
And here he goes.
Like the butcher said when the scale broke. No way.
That's funny.
That is funny.
That's funny. I like that. That's a great line.
I also like that because, like, in the split second he took to say that punchline, I was like, where's he going with this? And then he said it, and I was like, oh, that's good.
Very good.
Oh my God, I can't believe I also notated this. And turns out you people did, but because you thought it was good. And I was like, wow, I'm pretty sure that every episode this Todd fella has one of these hot zingers coming for you. Yeah,
that's how I know it's not a drama. Pure comedy. Act two starts with Devlin doing yet another jump over the cars with the same animation. It's the same result. He lands it. And I just wrote here, I have a feeling he never crashes and spins and is on fire. And like, I don't think, and they tested my faith in this in act three, just for the record. Yeah. We'll get to that when we get to that. But Sandy is giving Lucifer a tour. And we're never going to reference the fact that Lucifer means the devil. And it really bothers me. It really bothers me. They don't even make like a pun or just like, you know, he's a real stinking devil. That guy, that Lucifer, like there's just, well, they could have done it and they chose not to.
They can't because the main character's fucking name has devil in it.
Sort of. Yeah. Yeah. All right. So we get to Lucifer's next heinous act, and he pulls a Wilbur Valderrama by jumping the line at a concession stand. This goddamn villain!
The weird thing, too, is that he offers the other two.
Yeah!
It's four
he
drinks.
Buys the other guy's sodas so they don't have to wait in line. What a G! This guy's trying to be cool, and they reject the sodas.
They could have been like, hey, thanks, and then handed them to other people in the line.
Could have done that.
I didn't bother to do that, because absolutely, Lucifer just like dumped it in the trash as 100%. He walked away. He was trying to be nice.
He was trying to literally do something nice for them. Did he go about it a dickish way? Sure. But like, you know, you get out of the way on the road when the fire truck is coming through, right? Like sometimes there are people who just have places to be and they're famous singers at a carnival. Why is he playing a carnival if he's that famous? I had that question as well.
Listen, man, you performed where you could in the 70s.
I guess I just don't, you know, the Beatles weren't playing the LA County Fair. It just doesn't make a lot of, this doesn't jive to me that these two pieces would fit together. If he is as ridiculously famous that he has this level of attitude, this is not a dude who's playing under the big top. While motorcycle jumps are also happening.
Yeah, they have to play real fast and loose to explain the reality they're in, that this guy is a big enough star that he's a draw and a big enough star that he can have an attitude, but also not a big enough star to not have to play a fucking traveling circus for a week.
And he's not even center stage. He's off to the side while other things are happening. I would be pissed off too if I was him. This sucks.
Here's a fun thing. I asked Lucifer what he thought of you two, Gina and Ray.
Man, you guys are the squarest.
Yeah, he's
that's
not wrong.
True.
I mean, I'm not. You're not wrong. I mean, look, Lucifer. The guy who runs the circus, is saying, I don't know if this Lucifer guy's worth it. You know, he's too much trouble. He's causing a lot of friction. He's a draw, sure, but I don't know. And later, Lucifer, again, the fourth dickish thing he does. He's an hour late to an interview that he doesn't care about. Again, yeah. I'm like, okay, yes, the lady doing the interview shouldn't have to wait over an hour, but she also didn't wait an hour for him. If he's famous enough, I don't know. Chan, you did this as a gig. interviewing famous people, were there times you waited a certain period of time because somebody just wasn't there?
I mean, it depends on what the snack situation was.
Okay.
Yeah. It was good. I'll stick around, man. I don't mind eating cannabis.
So that's his next heinous act. Now it's time for the show to actually start. Here we go. Wildly enough, in the Big Top, Lucifer is trying to play his musical act while Devlin jumps through moving hoops on a flatbed trailer, jumping through moving hoops. Good trick. I could understand why Lucifer doesn't want to have to compete with that while he's mid-act, but I don't agree that he should get in the truck that's holding the flatbed and drive it away as Devlin is driving up the ramp to do the trick.
Okay.
At that point, you can wait 5 seconds and it's done.
Okay, here's the thing. At this point now, I was complaining that like he should have had a throw the TV out the hotel room moment. He does, because driving the fucking trailer out of the way of a guy who's mid jump that could possibly, you know, lead
kill him.
Shattered bones, yeah, like murder yeah. him, is wildly unsafe. But it's not even like he's flipping out. It's not like he's like, you motherfucker, I'm gonna show you real good. It's almost like I don't know. I feel there's something about his attitude that doesn't. It doesn't make sense.
He's not malicious. He's just makes bad choices.
The tram thing was just like straight up goofy bullshit.
It was just stupid. Yeah. And we have all known people like that before.
But in such a weirdly specific way, why would you take a fucking tram that you think is
my note here? Why would that even be fun?
Why would you throw a 20 at the guy afterwards?
And he threw a 20. Yeah, okay, this is delightful. We'll get there in 1 sec. Let's finish act two so Gina can sleep or something. You still there, Gina?
I am. Yes, hurry.
Todd, Mickey Dolan's Todd. Oh, God. Todd wants to kick Lucifer's ass at this point. Just straight up beat him.
Well, yes, which is because great. This is like a serious fucking
This is a crime.
Yes. Yes.
And he says, get that platform into the ring for my stunt. And he's like, no. And I respect him for that. That's the end of act two. We've got friction. We've got extra friction now. But now.
Okay. Yeah. I think my problem is this. It's parking in a no parking zone, blowing through a yield sign, cutting the line, actively trying to murder a human being, and then back to. Hey, I want to ride this tram around.
I get the frustration if you're a musician, because I feel like this is practice time, right? This is before the show, actually, because we haven't done the charity trick or the publicity stunt yet. So he's trying to do a mic check while Devlin is revving his loud-ass motorcycle, 50 feet away from the stage. I can understand how that would piss off a real musician. And actually, you know what? He is justified in moving that to the other side of the arena, because he's trying to sound good. He is an artist. You know what, Devlin? Hashtag Devlin did nothing wrong. I mean, okay.
Here's what he should have done.
Nothing wrong.
He should have thrown a hissy fit and made him move the stuff. That would make sense. Him doing it, it just sort of muddles the character choices.
It's a little aggressive.
The next thing he does is sort of the same thing, but in a
Okay, so act three starts.
He's trying to kill him.
He is trying to actively kill him.
If he were trying to kill him, just do it.
He's even worse.
You,
he's killing him with he could kill him, but he doesn't even care enough to wonder if he's gonna kill him.
He doesn't notice him. He just is not aware of him. So, I don't feel so bad.
I don't get it.
You don't notice all the ants you step on.
and Devlin is the ant in this context, yes?
That is correct, yeah. As an ant is to Lucifer,
uh-huh.
as is Devlin.
Okay.
I think that's sort of how it works. Anyway, the publicity stunt time, a big crowd is gathered, and inexplicably, I think we went like a step in the weirdo direction here, because Lucifer, as we said before, Chan, he stole the tram. It's like stealing the studio tour tram at Universal Studios.
Yeah, why does
no one's in it?
Why does the circus have a tour tram?
They have a tour tram. And what is fun about that? He has a literal sports car convertible in the lot he could just drive around. What is fun about stealing a tram, throwing the tram driver $20? Also, hot dogs were only 40 cents back in 1974. And I am jealous as F about it.
You know what? That is a lot of money, I guess. $20 at the time. Yeah, yeah. I'll take the day off for that.
Yeah, you know, it's probably like $100 now. I don't know. $20 in 1974. I'll look it up in just a sec. But they're going to go ahead and do the stunt anyway. And he rams the tram. He rams the tram into the landing sloping platform. And let's see. Okay. About a $20 in 1974 is worth about $128.03 today.
All right.
And that's not even today. Wow. Yeah, anyway. So, yeah, that's 100. I don't think that guy driving the tram is making more than $128.
Absolutely.
I'll put it out there. Not at all. So he bumps into it with the tram because he smashes through a road closed sign. People are standing in front of him being like, "You must stop. This is dangerous." He is just rolls right through. They have to jump out of the way. Devlin is doing the charity jump. And in my head, it's not structurally sound to land on this ramp anymore. And this is where Hanna-Barbera tested my faith.
Mm-mm.
He's about to land in a structurally unsound pile of wood that has just been smashed into with the force it took to smash a giant barricade saying road closed. And I'm like, oh, here we go. They have to animate this differently. He is landing on unsound wood.
This is on you for expecting that. This is on you for expecting that. You should have known by now. So that's on you.
Let me say, it tested my faith because I didn't think they would really do it. But there is a moment, or I didn't really think that they would animate anything different. But there was a moment as he's about to come down, I'm just like, I don't know, maybe they would. And then he just double jumps and just lands on it like nothing was wrong.
No, he skids out a little bit. He skids out. It's just because he's that talented that he doesn't die. Talented.
Yeah, I guess he's fine. And, you know, and they also like, they're all just like, our friends are outraged. He just doesn't care that he's causing danger. It's like, yes, have you ever met a rich person?
But again, this is the moral of this is not, oh, this is the worst person ever. The moral is, hey, don't look up to celebrities because a lot of the times they're dicks.
But sometimes they're not.
Most of the times they are.
I mean, is he Elon Musk levels of evil is, I think, the question we need to ask.
Well, hey, Ray loves Elon. What are you talking about? What? He's
Where
the head of his fan club.
From? When is the moment I have ever defended
you
that
love him.
Terrible human being?
You're the head of his fan club and you send him muffins on the weekends.
Mm-hmm.
Look, I did send him Elon Muskins, yes. But to my knowledge, he hasn't eaten them because he is still alive. Of course, I'm speaking satirically, FBI. That is a joke. I never sent him any muffins. I am not actually the president of his fan club. Gina is trying to get a rise out of me, and it is working.
Well, then I guess we have no choice but to end it.
We're so close, Gina. Look, I've been pushing this plot really hard. You cannot accuse me of lollygagging in Acts 2 and 3.
I can and I do.
Oh, God damn it. Listen, as sure as I am that Elon Musk went to Epstein Island... I have not been lollygagging on this episode. Okay, so here's the deal. Todd has had it after the near fatal crash, he says, "Ernie, go kick the shit out of this guy." We cut back to Lucifer, and he's jumping the concession line a second time. They're just repeating old things he did right now. What is happening? I love this.
What is happening is we're about to get a moral, which,
oh,
again, just...
And here's the deal. Devlin is pissed off. He has been pushed to his brink. He has the adrenaline of somebody who was almost killed by negligence. He is finally confronting the person who was negligent. And his, what does he do? He goes full Susan Collins, senator from Maine, and gives him a stern lecture.
"Nobody can relax with you around. You're a menace, Lucifer. You came into a closed road. Sandy and the guard begged you to stop, but not Lucifer. Oh, no. You knocked that down ramp out of line, and I'm lucky I'm here."
And then he voted to confirm him anyway. God bless America. Lucifer's fired. Look, Hank doesn't have to put up with this shit. He fires Lucifer, and I'm like, how much money is he really losing here? Does he need it? Doesn't seem like a lot. But also, Lucifer also fired his manager, or his manager fired him. It doesn't matter.
No.
The point is, the manager tells him what's what. He says, "You made bad choices. For the first time in your life, you're actually suffering from them." And Lucifer says, "You're fired."
No, he does not.
Manager fires him.
You're fired.
Neither of them. He just gets out of the car.
Oh, that's right. No actual consequences. All right.
No actual consequences, which is, again, that's the issue that I have, is that he just feels kind of bad, goes to apologize.
He does.
Says, "You know what? You're right. That wasn't the nicest thing I ever did." Like, oh, okay. We'll give him his job back. And he gets excited.
Am I the only person who thought he was pulling a scam with that apology at first?
What kind of scam?
Like, he was just like, "I'm going to apologize that you're so weak." And then he slaps him in the face and then runs away laughing.
Is that what you think a scam is?
Yeah, then he takes the $20 back from the hot dog guy.
Here's the thing. I knew it wasn't a scam because it was about 90 seconds before the end of the episode.
All right, you know what? Fair enough.
The story over with.
Fair
so
enough.
So that absolutely had to be his come to Jesus moment where he's like, "Oh my God, I'm a changed man. Thank you so much, Devlin, for changing my heart. You with your evil Knievely ways, your daredevil attitude has made me turn over a new leaf," which is how we do it in the 70s.
And this has shown me beyond a shadow of a doubt, yelling at people works. I am not changing my Facebook for anybody.
There you go.
It changes minds, Gina Ippolito.
It does not. You just want other people to be stressed out.
It changes minds.
You're the only one that's stressed here, Gina.
No, I seriously doubt
I'm not stressed
that.
At
I bet
all.
I bet other people have unfollowed you because of this.
I couldn't tell you. I know that I get plenty of interaction. I don't know.
It works for me. I unfollowed you for this. What is this? What is it you did?
I invented curious. Facebook.
Oh, yeah. Well, that would
get out of there. Here's the deal. Devlin has accepted Lucifer's apology and it convinced Hank to give him another chance. I would not. I don't think Lucifer stands to actually learn anything long term without any consequences to his actions whatsoever. But somehow Lucifer is a changed man.
He is a piece of shit.
Piece of shit.
He deserves all of it.
I have lost out on gigs for making bad choices in my communication with others, and I deserved it, and I learned from it, and that's why I'm the reformed man you see with you today. If I had been handed the silver spoon of fame and luxury when I was 24, I would be an absolute monster right now.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm so happy for my lack of success.
I
would have been a real absolute piece of shit.
Yeah, well, no. The two are not mutually exclusive. There are other reasons why he's a piece of shit. Not.
Oh, no. Yeah, no. I'm still not good. Don't get me wrong. I am not trying to say that by any stretch.
As long as we're all on the same page.
No. We all understand where we're at here.
Yeah.
It's just, I'm a level of monster that you're comfortable enough talking to. For at least 60 minutes a week. Oh, hey, this show just is going on 80 sometimes minutes right
much,
now.
Much longer. Much, much longer.
Anyway, that's the end of the episode. 1974's Devlin, Sandy's idol. Still no tiki gods. Color me disappointed.
Would you watch another episode of this, Gina?
I probably would. I mean, like, I'm not clamoring for it, but I would, like, put it on in the background while I was, like, cleaning or something.
I definitely get where they were, why this was made, you know, why it is why like it is. We almost watched one that was it's called like The Way We Were or something like that. Mm-hmm. And it's like a Laura Ingalls Wilder kind of show, like turn of the century, prairie type situation. Again, like sort of a drama. I couldn't find a clean copy of it. So maybe next time.
So you found a dirty one?
Found a filthy one. Oh my God. It just had just boobies all over. Hannah Boobera, they used to call it when they would make blue stag films back in the 60s.
It's just cartoon stuck porn.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Before that was even a thing. Like they were doing it before Pornhub. I mean, they're really truly innovators.
Wow.
And they don't get enough credit for it, which is a shame. I get why this is like it is. I just don't like it. I just don't like it.
We've watched worse.
Well, yeah, of course we've watched worse. This is a big nothing burger. This is a show that Gina will forget 2 weeks from now. Guaranteed.
Gina has already forgotten it. Gina, what's the name of the main character?
Daredevil.
Name a character in the show.
Daredevil.
No, she could name Mickey Dolenz. Not a character name, but I think it would count.
Name three kinds of primates.
Oh, shit. Oh, I got him.
I'm texting you guys a picture of what my cats are currently doing. So that you can hurry the fuck up.
Do you ever find yourself thinking about who would win in a fight between Goku and Superman? Hi, I'm James Gavsy, and on the Who Would Win show, me and my co-host Ray ignore anything important happening in the outside world and debate fictional battles between characters from comics, movies, and video games.
We got a new show every week, and almost always am I the winner.
Yeah, not true, Ray.
In the past, we've discussed such matches as Captain America versus Darth Vader, Solid Snake versus the Iron Giant, classic matchups like RoboCop versus Terminator, and even the Muppets versus Sesame Street.
That one was crazy. So if you're a fan of geek culture and love a spirited debate, check out the Who Would Win show wherever you get your podcasts, or check us out at whowouldwinshow.com.
All you homeowners have unique needs. Some feel the need to paint their door a vibrant shade of blue. Others have the need to decorate their bathroom with fish, anchors, and other nautical items. And because each homeowner has unique needs, GEICO helps you get the right coverage for your home and what's in it. That way, you get exactly what's right for you, even if your needs are unique. Get more with GEICO.